This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Gunnison and Noel Lim. So for some thoughts on what's moving markets, this morning we're speaking with Bernard Au, Asia-Pacific economist at Kofas. Thanks for joining us this morning. So the OECD has upgraded its global economic GDP forecast from 5.6 to 5.8% in 2021. Do you think that this is an achievable target or will growth be more moderate?
Yes, I think it's possible. The global GDP growth upgrade from the OECD is quite consistent with what many organizations, including the IMF, as well as companies like Kofas, are expecting, which is really a stronger recovery in the world economy. And in fact, in March, we've upgraded our own GDP forecast for 2021 for the world economy from 4.3% to 5.1%. The IMF did the same in their April's release of the World Economic Outlook, and they are looking at 6%. And really, the reasons behind this brightening view are quite similar, which is mostly related to a stronger outlook for the US because of the large fiscal stimulus and very solid vaccination progress. But I will also say that, you know, this current crisis remains quite unique, and we have seen the unprecedented impact on economic activity and consumer behavior. And what this really means is that, you know, GDP forecasts are quite sensitive to changes in the environment, including new outbreaks and therefore new mobility restrictions. So very much the recovery that we're expecting depends on the vaccination progress worldwide and not just in a few advanced economies, and also on the ability of governments to control the pandemic, especially against new variants.
Well, China has managed a strong recovery on the back of last year's fiscal and monetary easing. But as stimulus tapers off, will we see an increase in corporate credit risk in certain sectors?
Yes, we are seeing higher corporate credit risk in certain sectors in China. So if you look at the corporate bond default rates in the first 4 months of this year, they were up over 70% to $18 billion. And many of these defaults were really concentrated in a few sectors, such as real estate, aviation, and electronics. And last week, Kofas published our annual China's Corporate Payment Survey, which looked at payment behaviors of Chinese companies across 13 sectors. And this survey indicated that credit risks are building up in specific sectors, such as construction and energy. And this is despite a brightening economic outlook. Of course, some of these risks are related to government policy, including a focus on reducing, you know, leverage in the Chinese economy. So we expect corporate bond defaults and insolvencies in China to increase this year, especially among sectors that accumulated higher cash flow risk in 2020 due to the pandemic.
Now, how big will this risk be? I mean, is it enough to rattle the markets?
I think the markets, what we saw last year, they are already quite concerned with, you know, rising bond defaults. And what we know is that insolvency has actually fallen in 2020. And a large part of that is because of, you know, unprecedented government support. So, you know, when we were expecting some of that support to start to taper off for this year and into the next year. So insolvency are expected to increase. I think this is something that the markets are have understand, so this may not, you know, create that such a big impact on the markets.
And still on credit, China's finance ministry is considering a proposal to transfer its shares in Huarong Asset Management to a new holding company. Overall, how do you view this move? Is it sufficient to restore confidence amongst Chinese bond investors, or is the problem merely being passed on to another party?
So the Huarong case has great implications on how the market will price Chinese bonds in the future. And I think more importantly, challenge the longstanding view that government support is always there for state-owned enterprises and even those entities supported by the central government. So I think that the proposal to transfer Huarong assets to a new holding company suggests that the government is keen to use an entity with perhaps more experience resolving debt risk as compared to, you know, the Ministry of Finance and so on. And this is really consistent with China's move towards allowing more market forces to determine credit risk and also part of their efforts to further reform the financial sector.
Bernard, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Bernard Au, Asia-Pacific economist at COFAS, giving us a bit of a look at what's happening on the global market front. Right now, though, we are heading into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be taking a look at the construction sector and the impact of lockdown restrictions with Lung Chi Wei of Afin Huang Capital. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.